Welcome to Today at News Prank Cup. My name is James Trupany and I'm joined by Christy today. How are you doing, Mom?
Hi, doing okay. Had a fun time watching the show this morning.
There you go. And we're going to catch us up on the New Japan results. We're going to go a little bit more in depth than I did yesterday when it was a quick roundup of nights 5 and 6.
Because
you're here and it will always be in depth when you're here.
Very long.
Before we start, we have some business to attend to. We should, of course, mention the sad passing of former IWGP Tag Team Champion Yuta Takahashi. He sadly passed away after an All Japan show. Was it on Sunday? I think it was March the 10th. Yes, so that would have been on Sunday. He was wrestling a match and went for a press conference afterwards and passed away in hospital long afterwards after he had a bit of a medical episode. And it was announced by All Japan that he had passed away because of thickened arteries. He wrestled for All Japan. He was a one-time tag team champion with Akebono. He wrestled Pro Wrestling 01. He was NWA Intercontinental Tag Team Champions with both Steve Corino and Shogo Nakamoto. And he also wrestled in Toryumon, where he won the Yamaha Cup with Ultimo Dragon. And he's a former, as we said, IWGP Tag Team Champion with Hiroshi Tanahashi. If you want to go back, he started his career in 1994. He was in the same class as Satoshi Kojima and Tenzan and those guys. And he was originally trained by Animal Hamaguchi, which was also the trainer of people like Evil. So he's an important person in the history of recent history of New Japan Pro Wrestling and Japanese wrestling in general. So please go back at him. We should also mention another former New Japan wrestler, Mark Coleman, currently suffering from effects of saving his parents from the fire at their home. And we hope he is better soon. Anyway, with the sad things out of the way, let us move on to professional wrestling of today. What we're going to do is we're going to go through the tag team matches from the last 3 days and have a quick chat about the main events from the previous 2 days before we get into today's show. So where are we starting? We're going to start back on the 11th. Mighty Don't Kneel, that was online stream at... No, it is an online stream. ITM Eamon, Matsume Ehime Japan. Mighty Don't Kneel, Mikey Nichols and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Oleg Bolton and Shaman Shoma Kato. Did you watch that?
I did watch it, yeah. I've watched everything again. I just don't have notes for everything because some of them I had to watch while I was doing other things.
Okay.
But for most of it, I have some notes.
So not for that this one, I'm guessing.
I have notes for this one. I really like the absolute delight on Zach's face when Shoma challenged him.
Ah.
He was clearly excited about wrestling the young lion.
please come into my lair and allow me to tie you in knots.
Please come into my area so I can strangle you with my limbs. It was a lot of fun. Zach was clearly having a ball just playing with the young lion. And Mikey and Zach are great together. So
there you go. Just five guys. Doki, Tai Chi, Yui Uemura defeated El Desperado, Tommy Akihoma, and Tomohiro Ishii. Mr. Desperado and Mr. Ishii spending a lot of time together these days. 9 minutes and 51 seconds. What's your thoughts on this one? Because I knew you watched this one.
Even if Honma's in it.
Yeah.
But my comment was mostly about the commentary of this match. Because I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. Because this was one of the first times that Desperado would be facing two of his former Suzuki-gun family members. And commentary didn't mention it a single time.
Ooh, Chris Charlton, where are you when we need you?
He wasn't there. and they made it very obvious because they were laughing at each other, you know, like, oh, look, we're against each other. They were making it a real thing. Like, first, Desperado and Doki, before the match started, were talking about it and making faces at each other. And Desperado and Tai Chi started the match. And like, this is a moment for us, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, commentary is going to mention it now. Okay, commentary is going to mention it once Tai Chi shows up. Now, commentary did not mention it a single time. They mentioned it in the next show.
Yeah.
They referenced back to it.
So when Chris had mentioned them, yeah. messaged them.
Someone,
what are you blithering idiots doing?
Someone yeah. clearly said, you know, Suzuki gun? You know, that was yes. the thing. That made me laugh. I mean, it's they should have mentioned it, but it's obvious that Walker is just not there yet. And Gino, I mean, Gino's not there for...
Gino's not been an on-screen talent for regularly for 2 or 3 years, has he? So
yeah. Yes. So it's fine. It's just, it was funny.
Yes, but good to have him back. Don't get me wrong. Yes. Bullet Club, Chase Owens and Kenta defeated Hirooki Goto and Togi Makabe in 7 minutes and 24 seconds.
My only note was that commentary was like, well, if Goto and Makabe win, that would be a great tag team to go up against Kenta and Chase.
But why would they? Because
yeah, why would they? So they lost.
So like, yes, no. I guess,
hypothetically.
I do like Walker's wide-eyed innocence of assuming that people like, I don't know, Chase Owens can win the New Japan Cup. However, there needs to be a level of cynicism there to match Walker's doughy optimism. And that's what we have Chris Charlton for. It's kind of missing.
Like, would Goto go with Makabe when he has a tag team partner?
Yes. And it's like, no, they're just doing this because he's not free. He's busy. Yeah. That's it. It's just the way it is. It's all right. There was no one kicking about with Andy. So, hey, Togi.
Yeah, but the logic that if Goto were to have a tag team title shot, that he would go with Makabe instead of Yoshihashi is just...
I would do it with a non-member of GBH rather than a member of Chaos. Of course I would. No, it doesn't make any sense. Stop it. Gorillas of Destiny, Jado, Tangaloa, and Shooter Umino, who's not a member of Gorillas of Destiny, but he was there, defeated Bullet Club War Dogs, David Finlay, Gabe Kidd, and Ghetto, 8 minutes and 15 seconds.
Well, Shota might as well be a member of GOD at this point.
There's not an awful lot of Hontai left, is there?
He's obviously Hontai, but he is really good friends with ELP and Hikuleo. So if you watch any backstage stuff or outside of New Japan stuff, like on Hikuleo's YouTube or something like that, Shota shows up all the time. So these are not the GOD members he usually hangs with, but I'm sure he's okay with it.
Yeah,
that's all the comments I have. I had nothing on this otherwise.
Yes, and Jado, you should always be learning from Jado. 32 years this business.
Yes.
Indeed. House of Torture, Evil, Ren Narita, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Yujiro Takahashi, along with Dick. There we go. Defeated Gorillas of Destiny, El Phantasmo, Hikuleo, Raisuki, Taguchi, and Yo. 9 minutes and 7 seconds again. Yo was not a member of Gorillas of Destiny. He's a member of Chaos, but again, he was there, and Raisuki Taguchi is a menace.
He is. He really is. A dangerous menace. Talking about the dangerous menace, Sho was also there, trying to catch Yo, but Yo kept hiding behind Hikuleo, which I thought was really funny, because you could see there were moments where Sho would like run at him, and then Yo would stand behind, you know, the tree, and Sho would be like, "I'll pass, thank you very much. I'll wait until he's on his own." That was my highlight of the match, basically.
United Empire, Kel Newman, Francesco Acura, Garito Khan, Jeff Cobb, and TJP. Defeated Los Ignorables, but how did this happen? Defeated Los Ignorables to Japón, Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, Shingo Takagi, Tetsuya Naito, and Yota Tsuji in 10 minutes and 2 seconds. Fair enough. I suppose I've got to win sometime.
Wasn't there to take the pin instead of Bushi.
There you go. Walker Stewart went sightseeing with Francesco Acura, Jeff Cobb, and Callum Newman the other day.
Yes, I saw.
It's on his feed. The more wholesome members of United Empire. I mean, they're still evil, boo, hiss, but yes.
It's funny, though, because he looks bigger and more like a wrestler than some other wrestlers Jeff in Cobb the picture.
Makes Jeff Cobb look like a bit dropped off, and he's like...
Like a baby.
Yeah, dude, why are you commentating for? Yeah, but yes, he's cool. So what happened here? Anything interesting?
A couple of comments. Tsuji keeps going with the long hair thing against Cobb. And I need him to stop. Just no more hair. No more touching your hair unless it's just, you know, to make it look pretty. No suggesting hair matches. No. We've had enough for at least a couple of years.
Leave that to Joshi where it's even more harrowing.
Yeah. Sure. Maybe when Suzuki comes back.
Yes.
And then there was Hiromu, who refused to tag in until Kalb was out of the ring and Akira in the ring. Which makes sense. I would prefer Akira too.
Is he adopting people again?
Maybe he's doing the same thing Despy is. And like, Akira, do you want to join me? But he's also, they're talking about Best of Super Juniors and titles and in backstage stuff. Hiromu's also mentioned Akira and Despy's mentioned Akira. So I think he's getting a push.
Yeah, that's good. He's good. He's probably the best out of all of them, to be honest, at the minute.
So. Yeah. And then the last comment I had was Naito was mocking Great O'Khan a bit. And then Great O'Khan's backstage comment was, well, he talks a lot of shit, but people would rather leave than challenge him. That was also interesting.
Yeah.
Which is both a knock at Naito, but also at all the other people. Like, only these guys are challenging Naito, why aren't you?
Yeah, there you go. True. Then we move on to the semi-main event of the evening. Jack Perry defeated Tariano in 8 minutes and 28 seconds. This was fine and what you expected it to be, but I did notice one mention on Twitter, someone said getting out-wrestled by Tariano in 2024 is quite the thing. Which is fair enough. Though, suppose me, Jack Perry isn't there to wrestle right now.
No, he's there to be annoying.
Yes, and he's doing that pretty damn well. And all power to him. He has done all of the run-ins. And when, you know, he could say, hey, I'm a big AEW star and I'm going to sit right here. He's done all the run-ins. He's done all of the shit work that you have to do when you're in House of Torture. And he's done it with aplomb. So can't complain. What's your thoughts on this matchup?
Look, this just isn't for me at all. Like... You've got one established guy, but it's Yano, and I don't much like Yano.
Mm.
And then you've got Jack Perry, who I'm not invested in, who I don't know.
Yeah.
And they have Yujiro out there as moral support. I'm like, it's just not for me. I'm sorry.
If they'd sent Peter out there as moral support, you would enjoy
I would have improved much more, yeah. She has more charisma and... character to her.
I do like Yujiro on the grounds that he has actually got incredibly good wrestling IQ.
He never uses it anymore. And I like Yujiro. I like him as a person because the stuff I've seen behind the scenes, he seems like a really nice guy.
Yes, he was the first to notice that Naito was going to be the big star and got out the way.
I've seen stuff with him when the Elite did the behind the scenes, the Bullet Club stuff. And Yujiro and Tama would have conversations. And it was really nice. But he hasn't progressed in years. There's nothing new about him. He just loses stuff.
I think that's the issue, is the kind of the thing is like, yes, I'm actually rubbish. but I've survived this long. So, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the same issue I have with Yano.
Yeah.
It's been the same thing for years and years and years. And I appreciate him. Yeah. But I never go into a match thinking, oh, we're going to discover something new.
No, I understand that. There are no layers. They have been peeled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just new t-shirts.
Exactly. Main event time. Former IWGP World Heavyweight Champion Sanada defeated Yoshihashi in 23 minutes and 51 seconds in a bit of a banger. This was actually as good as I thought it would be, because when Yoshihashi really turns it on, which he has to against a former IWGP heavyweight champion, he can go some. And Sanada was kind of pushed out his comfort zone, which you don't see too often. So I really enjoyed this. This was great. What's your thoughts on this?
I know
you're going to be disappointed with the finish because we are guy lost, but...
Well, yeah, but we knew it was going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And I like Sanada just fine, so it wasn't... I didn't bother.
Yeah, it wasn't like he lost to... several of the people we could think of, yes.
Yeah, and I kind of figured Yoshihashi might lose in the first round, so this is just a bonus. I loved that the commentary kind of mentioned it, but that there are such similarities between Yoshihashi and Sanada from the very beginning. I mean, they arrived in the same, what do you call it, when they attempt to get into the dojo?
Auditions.
Yeah, stuff like that. And both didn't make it. And both Yoshihashi kept trying and Sanada went somewhere else. And their issue has always been a lot of character. Like, people didn't get invested in them because they didn't understand who they were. They were either boring or cold or whatever. So they have a lot of things in common that way. And I think the main difference is that Sanada had the athletics.
Yeah.
Which made him stand above Yoshihashi right now.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Is the difference between the two guys is like, Yoshihashi is eminently likable as a human being.
Mm-hmm. And he did get there.
Yeah.
But it's very Yoshihashi to get there too late.
Yes, exactly. Sanada always looked like a star. You go back, we watched that, me and John did the All Together show from 2013, and he was rising ace in All Japan at the time, and he looked like a megastar. He looked better than he did now. You know, and he was a megastar for All Japan, really, at the time. And then he goes off to Impact Wrestling, and he has the personality of Wick Harwood. It's like, what happened between there and there? And I think a lot of it is promoters getting in his ear, and you've got to do this, and you should be this, and then you should be this. And it's not until now we've actually got Sanada, who's supposed to be Sanada.
Yeah, like, you're handsome, you can't be weird.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's just move to the 12th. Oh, sorry, notes. More notes. You got notes?
Oh my God. You're going really fast today. I thought we were doing the
in-depth tournament. Version.
Tournament matches in-depth.
Yes, we are. Sorry, I do apologize. But you didn't have much on the previous one, then I realized it's Toriyama versus Jack Perry, so you won't have that.
That's not my thing. And this is Yoshihashi and Sanada, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I also like that they mentioned the tag team specialist part a lot. But then the commentary, I think it was Walker, went, well, maybe if he dedicates himself, he can finally achieve the singles dream. I'm like, oh, Walker. No, there are some people who are not going to make it to Naito and Okada levels. It's just not going to happen.
Yoshihashi has never open weight championship run for 3 days written all over him.
Or 3 months, but three, not the main titles.
No.
It's not going to happen anymore.
No. King of Pro Wrestling is probably where he looks, but he probably considers King of Pro Wrestling beneath him. But I'd certainly say a never open weight championship run when Bishimon are finished is not a bad thing.
No, and there's nothing wrong with not making it, but it just it's endearing that Walker still believes.
It's also, what do you think he's been trying to do for the last 30 years?
He's now finally trying. This rookie has finally understood.
This 41-year-old has finally managed to figure it all out. Yes.
And he also said that Yoshihashi is the Sean to Goto Shinetti. And I'm like, really?
No, I think Goto is Sean to Yoshihashi.
Right,
Sean.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no Shinetti in either of them two. Like, yeah, it is just like, no, Jeanette, Goto won 3 New Japan Cups, former IWGP Intercontinental Champion, and never opened a show.
Yeah.
He's had a career. He's on the wind down, yes, I think we can all agree that. But he's not having bad matches. I think Walker needs to find his tone sometimes.
Well, Walker needs to find the history, I think, because he's very much in the now.
Yes.
Which is good for commentating, but it means that you lose sight of things like Suzuki-gun or what Goto has achieved or Naito not breaking rules, because you're very much in the, oh, Naito is a face now, okay?
No, he's not.
He must not break rules. Yeah.
Yes, he's not a face.
He sees him as a face.
Yes, he's not. He's just popular.
Yeah. And oh, Yoshihashi is in this match and he's really popular. He must be the popular one.
Not necessarily.
No.
No.
He wasn't here when Suzuki-gun were here, so.
Yeah, so he doesn't get, and he doesn't, wasn't, probably doesn't get an awful lot of Sanada being in LIJ either. And it's, there's more, there's, and it's more nuanced to that than...
Yeah, and the thing is with Sanada, Sanada being part of LIJ is obviously part of the story with Naito.
Mm.
But a random tag match where Tai Chi, Desperado, and Doki happen to meet,
mm.
there's probably no notes saying, no. Don't forget, they were part of Suzuki-kun mm. together.
Yes, they need... I hate to say the word they need producing, but they do need producing.
I think they need some experience, and Walker needs some time to read up on everything.
I think the more weekends Chris fills in, and they do the three-man booth between them, I think the better chance they're going to get. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully, things will pick up.
Yeah, this is not a rag.
This is not bad. This is absolutely not. It jars. I hate to mention in their previous commentary, but one of Kevin's big, what's the word I'm looking for? One of the big things he had was he did know all the history and thus referenced it as he went. Whereas Walker doesn't necessarily have absolutely everything at the depth of his fingertips. And also, bear in mind, Kevin was there for 8 years and everyone knows if the things happened directly in front of him. So, you know, which has not happened for Walker yet.
He does have the advantage that he seems to interact with the universe better, though.
Yes, that's true.
Like, he goes and does stuff with the other guys, whereas Kevin always felt like outside of the universe.
I think as well, I mean, to be fair to Kevin, he's a mid-40-year-old guy. What does he have in common with these 20-year-olds who were...
And he hated it at the last year. He hated being in New Japan.
Yeah, he was just like, can I go home to the kids, please? Yeah,
like, oh, Sanada sucks, and New Japan's like, wait, no, that's not the story we're saying.
Yeah, so it's just that's the thing, is like, he just needs to grow in the role, and he will do, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yes.
Yeah, yeah, and the last comment about the match, and then we can continue. I thought that it was very typically Yoshihashi and Sanada to start out the match really quiet and calm. Mm. And then during the last 10 minutes, the entire crowd was in an uproar.
Yeah, it's an old Shinya Hashimoto thing. It's a very chaos thing to do. It's the Shinya Hashimoto's matches were always dead, like dinosaur, glacially slow for the first 5 minutes. Mm. And they build to the last 10 minutes. And it was very much reminded me of that. Yeah, I mean, Hashimoto would destroy people in 5 minutes if necessary, but, you know, a lot of his big main event matches were based around that principle of hook them with some slow-paced stuff so they can get their teeth into it and then build to a climax, and it was very, very cool, I thought, as well, yeah. Right then, shall we move on?
Yes.
To Iwo Jima Central Overall Gymnasium in Iwo Jima, Ehime, Japan. Overall Gymnasium. Because that does that imply that like other cities have different types of gymnasium and they just have an overall gymnasium?
They have the overall gymnasium.
The overall gymnasium. Okay.
Yeah.
Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii, Toriyano Yoshihashi defeated Katsuyu Murashima, Oleg Bolton, and Tommy Akahoma in 8 minutes and 6 seconds.
My one note is that Murashima just slapped Ishii right in the face.
Oh, that's not going well, is it?
He got it right back, but I thought, well, you have courage, my son.
Yes.
Well done.
But possibly maybe no teeth left by the end of this match.
Maybe not the smartest move, but it happened, and he survived, so congratulations.
Catch 2-2, Francesco Acker and TJP defeated El Desperado and Raisuke Taguchi. I'm hoping this is the last time these two have a tag team together.
Desperado's career,
yes, for the sake of our common health, yes. What happened?
I have lots of comments about this one.
Go on. Which
surprises no one. I also have, please don't make this a recurring tag team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure Despy would find it very entertaining, but I don't, so let's not do that. Gino made a comment that had me laughing. He said, it's results that matter. And I thought, that's very wrestling Twitter fandom of you, Gino.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Next, you're going to say that star ratings matter.
Oh, well, I don't think the two are related.
well. Mm.
I do think that there is something said for wins mattering, yes. However, I don't think there is a star ratings mattering, because you know.
Yeah, but it wasn't really referencing wins. I think he was referencing the cheating.
Oh, I see.
And that results matter. And it just made, it felt very wrestling Twitter.
Okay.
You know, like it's the results and it's the attendance and it's the figures that matter, not the actual matches or the storylines. It made me laugh. And he also said, Gino, when's Kevin coming back? I'm sick of this. Like, no, Gino. No, we're not doing that. He is not coming back.
No, please. No. I'm sure he has a job waiting for him in MLW. where him and Striker can alienate people together.
Yeah, talk about how great Riddle is.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Anyway, any more?
Yeah, a couple of more.
Okay.
Too many. Akira was shit-talking people in Italian, which I thought was great. He needs to do it more. I have no idea what he said, but I support it 100%. I'm sure he was right. And he said to Desperado at the very end of the match, loco, you fucking baka, which I thought was three languages in one. That's really impressive. So, yeah. And Despe didn't want to do the Taguchi ass spot. Which,
good.
Yeah. I think it's because he knows his ass is too nice.
Yes. Because
he's most proud of his ass and his thighs. He's actually mentioned it on Twitter, so he just knows it's not worth it.
No, we have other butt stuff to talk about later in the main event from today's card, but we'll get to that in time.
Oh, do we? Oh, joy.
Yes. Mike O'Neill, Mikey Nichols. Oh, no, missed one. Just five guys, Sonata, Saichi, Yui, Uemura. You defeated United Empire, Calvin Newman, Great O'Khan, and Jeff Cobb in 10 minutes and 50 seconds.
Yeah, Great O'Khan was playing eeny, meeny, miny, mo to decide who he was going to wrestle at the beginning. Okay, and it ended up being Tai Chi.
All right.
And Tai Chi and Yuya are now very interested in the belt, apparently.
The former Iron King of Pro Wrestling, indeed.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also Yuya. And Yuya's eyeing every belt because he, later on we talk about another belt he's interested in. So
he's a hungry young man for gold.
He is.
Indeed.
He's been losing, but it's like, I'm sure this means I can challenge for a belt somewhere. Which, good for him.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Mike O'Neill, Mikey Nichols, and Zack Sabre Jr. defeat Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Ayoti, Yuta Tsuji, 7 minutes and 36 seconds.
I have a couple of notes, because Zach won't
I have two Mighty O'Neill notes, which I'll explain later.
Okay. it started out with Zach and Mike just talking about the gene blast, you know, mocking it. I'm going to blast your genes, stuff like that. And then it turned into someone from the audience shouting to Zach or just in general. I'm not sure if it was directly aimed at him or just in general, but they shouted, "Gambate, you can do it." And Zach just went, "Thank you." And the look on Switch's face was hilarious. He paused and he looked at the crowd like, "Really? Really? Him?" And this is why Tsuji's so good. Because he's so comfortable just doing that.
Mm.
He's comfortable enough to stray from what they've decided they're going to do and react naturally to something that's happening organically. You know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of young guys would be, I'm not going to react to that. I'm just going to do what we said we were going to do.
Mm.
But he took a moment. He turned around. He paused. He looked at the crowd. And that makes someone good. That shows charisma. So, like, really like that. By the way, do you know what Zach's nickname for Tsuji is?
What's that?
Tsuji. He called him Tsuji once, and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
All right, darling.
Yeah, yes. All right, darling.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He followed that up by, "Oh my god, I hate Lucha." Like, careful, careful, you're going to get in so much trouble if someone clips just that, you know. I put it online. Zack Sabre Jr. says he hates Lucha Libre.
Well, they go from the left and he goes from the right. Or the other way around. It's, Lucha works from the right and regular, or, sorry, non-Lucha wrestling works from the left. That's why a lot of American wrestlers didn't like working in Mexico, because everything was backwards.
Yeah, but it's just, it was a direct result of Tsuji just jumping, you know? So that's why you said, oh my God, I hate Lucha, because Tsuji was doing it. But I can just see wrestling Twitter a buzz because Zack Sabre Jr. says he hates Lucha.
Yeah. But he's one of the CMLL guys he really loves. So he wants to go to Mexico to wrestle him. I'm sure he doesn't hate Lucha,
but it was a funny comment.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's my last comment about this match, is that I love smaller shows like this because you can hear everything they're saying.
Yeah. House shows are always fun. That's the whole point, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. Bronson Reed this week went on Twitter and said, how the mighty have fallen. What's the big cage match they do in WWE? That one. The chamber thingy. And no WrestleMania for me, to which Shane Nichols replied underneath, the mighty don't kneel, though, do they? Because he's obviously a member of DMDK. And Artley Jackson is in this year's Championship Carnival, which Shane...
Oh, okay.
This year, because he's doing the Championship Carnival tournament. And Shane Haste replied DMDK to that. And Artley Jackson replied, it's tagged under my black undershorts. Because Hartley is also a member of Mighty Don't Kneel, in the wider family of Mighty Don't Kneel.
Yeah, Australian. I still need to learn all the names. There's too many people.
Well, basically, the entire Brisbane wrestling scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Hartley was one of the early members of TMDK, and of course, Bronson Reed was a member of TMDK in New Japan and had a pin over Ricardo 2 G1 climaxes ago, and then signed with WWE again. So that never went anywhere, and it was going to be a big, big match. It was highly anticipated Don Taku title match and never went anywhere because Bronson went and signed with the Fed, as they say. Anywho, House of Torture, Evil, Jack Perry, Ren Narita, and Yoshiyumi Kanemaru, along with Yujiro Takahashi, with Dick Togo, but minus Peter. We're going to put that in every time, I think. Peter. So much we stress, we miss Peter. Defeat Gorillas of Destiny, El Fantasmo, and Hikuleo, Shota Umino, Togi Makabe, and Yo, in 9 minutes and 50 seconds.
And Yo.
And Yo. Hey, yo.
Yes. A couple of comments here. It started out by a show coming out and on the mic insulting the entire crowd and calling them hicks, which is funny because he's apparently from this area. Oh, you yourself again.
I was like, yes. I muted myself while I was moving things around on my computer. But yes, I did read that. Chris Charlton's droll response is worth pointing out.
Which I thought was funny.
Yes.
And then Show went to sit down and commentary, and then Shota came out, and Show just jumped, like, "Oh my God, he's going to walk behind me! No, I don't trust you," and that made me laugh. And that's another example of like someone being part of the universe.
Yeah.
Like a new wrestler probably wouldn't have realized, "Oh, I'm a heel, and there's a face who's going to walk right behind me. Mm. I should react to that."
Yeah.
The show is far enough in his career that he knows how to react to that, and he does it, and it's funny. And it also gives Shota, you know, something to do. Like, Shota kicked at him. It's a small thing, but it shows that they think about their character.
Yeah, that's good.
And then there was the ELP gear situation. Did you realize?
No, I did not know about this because I didn't see it, so...
Well, it was on Twitter as well. Well, apparently, ELP forgot his pants.
Oh, unfortunate.
He left it in the hotel.
Oh.
And he ended up wearing Hikuleo's pants.
Oh, dear.
Which
they
were...
Been baggy.
Yeah, they were too big.
Spandex will only do so much work.
Well, I'm surprised by how he managed, because it didn't fall down. It looked okay. Like, it was clear it was too big for him, and he rolled up the top, you know? but he jumped and did all the moves and stuff, and I didn't see any underwear, so good job on that. But I realized that he's lucky Hikuleo apparently brings two pairs of pants, because what else was he going to wear?
You never know. Things happen.
Because they were in the same match. So, yeah. And usually people would only bring one pair of pants. Apparently ELP doesn't bring any, but, you know.
This happened last year as well when Alex Zane and Murderheart Monster, Archer, they were tagging together. Monster Source, that's it. When Monster Source were tagging together, Alex forgot his tights and had to wrestle in shorts.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But
this was just as funny. Like, if you know that those are Hikuleo's pants, you can clearly see it. Though they're lucky that they have similar styles. So if you didn't know, you might not have realized.
Just wearing ill-fitting trousers.
Yeah. Well, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe if you don't look at ELP's legs too much, you can... you won't realize. And then my last bit was the very sweet moments of Makabe trying to decide if he's going to high five Hikuleo or not. You know, the running jump that they all do.
Because he's a dead serious wrestler.
Yeah. And Shota and Yo and ELP were like very actively, you know, doing the high five.
Yeah.
But Makabe like paused for a second and he was like, oh, fuck, fine. And then he didn't do it. And I thought that was cute.
Nah, there you go. Right then, we move on. Los Ignorables de Japón, Hiromu Takeshi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito lost to Gay Kid, Kenta, and Taiji Ishimori. Intriguing. Because I was like, how did that happen then?
Taiji pinned Hiromu, and Hiromu had a fit.
I can imagine. He's on quite the losing streak at the moment.
He is. If it had been anyone but Hiromu, people would have been like, he's over the hill. He's done.
Yes.
But no one cares because it's Hiromu.
Yeah, Hiromu is losing himself and he's trying to find things.
But that's fun.
Though he has given up on his search for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship for a while because he said, "I'd the only person I want to wrestle for is Desperado." So that's kind of like freed him up to do other things, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's going to be a fun character because Hiromu can just focus on the story of losing.
Yeah,
and he hasn't been able to do that in years. So
yeah, no, this is it. Anything else on this one?
My one comment was, happy birthday, Kenta.
Happy birthday, Kenta. It was
his birthday.
You miserable old bastard. Happy birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday. I hope you call a lot of people fat today.
Yes. Right then. Let us get to the semi, as they would say in America. Main event. David Finlay with Gedo defeats Tangaloa with Gedo. 16 minutes and 42 seconds in. Well, here's a match where Tangaloa had something to prove. And unfortunately, yeah. David Finlay got a kick in because of that. I'm sure David was fine with it. But trying to get yourself over in one match in 16 minutes and 42 seconds, did a pretty damn good job, to be honest with you. I have a story about these two, about their respective parents, and I'll tell that after you've made your comments.
Okay. You can put the history in our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of comments, obviously. Is Tangaloa a good guy or a bad guy?
He's a good guy.
He's supposed to be a good guy, but he doesn't really know either. And I think you can kind of see in this match, because he started out attacking Finlay.
Yeah.
Before the bell had even rung. And in backstage promos, he also said he doesn't know. Like, he literally said, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? I don't know.
I think it worked against David Finlay, but I'm not sure it'd work against anyone else.
Yeah.
It's like, if you think you're Bullet Club, nah, I've been Bullet Club a lot longer than you have, was basically the story of this match.
Yeah, and it's also understandable when you do it against someone you know is going to do it to you, if he could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if you do it against a face, then you're obviously the bad guy.
Did you see what I called the YouTube... video for this for my review show last night? I do an alternate video. I do an alternate title for the show when on the YouTube. So there's a little Easter egg there if you go on the YouTube and go listen to us on YouTube rather than on SoundCloud.
I did retweet it.
Yes, there you go. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I always do an alternate one, and my alternate title was "Do unto others as you did." It's the old Sid quote of "Do unto others as they would do unto you, but do it first."
That was what Tangelo was doing.
Yes, exactly. And I thought that was very fitting.
But
you are right. Yeah.
He felt very aggressive in a way that not many faces are.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be interesting because I thought about the situation where Tanga is just so accustomed to being a heel that he has all those qualities and the other two, other three in GOD don't.
Mm.
It would be kind of fun to see what they do if he's like the bad egg in GOD.
Yeah. I think he can have some reign to do that because the other two are so fun loving. You can have a badass mm-hmm. that's just dark. And I think that's going to be interesting.
Yeah. And it's interesting story wise because I remember Jay White in Chaos.
Yeah.
That was so much fun.
Yeah.
Just to see him react to them and them to him. So, I mean, this is purely hypothetical because there's been no indication that this is happening, but that could be really, really fun and allow Tanga to do what he's comfortable with because he's clearly not very used to being a face.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Sorry, Kieran.
Yeah, and he's always shown that he is a good heel. So if you allow him to do those kind of things while having him be like, oh, I'm sorry, Hikuleo, I'm sorry, ELP, that was bad of me. And then the next show he does it again. That would be fun.
I think that's the thing. It's like, I think he can turn it on and tone it down when he's like wrestling baby faces, but when he's wrestling heels, just let him loose, be the hand grenade he needs to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's more interesting than him just trying to fit in because it's just not going to work for him. Because like, if you watch back to the Great O'Khan match where he really was trying to be a baby face, but it just looked like he was holding back. Whereas in this, he could like go and he was like so much more entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
So, yes. The story of their respective fathers, would you like that?
I still have two comments. But
oh, go with your two. No, go with your two comments.
You can go first if you want to.
No, you go.
I have this comment like, they really went, fuck this part of the seating area in particular. Because they came back to that one row, a couple of rows of chairs several times to throw each other into it. And I'm like, the poor guy who had to set that shit back up at least three times.
They all had comps.
He was probably so annoyed. Like, oh, no, not again. It was the same bit. Did you notice?
Mm-hmm.
It was then, the same.
Seriously, it might be some New Japan workers getting free tickets there that they can just like. You get free tickets, but you might have Tangalo or Dan land on you.
Yeah, and also you have to put like 50 chairs back up.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my last comment, there was another unfortunate Tanga botch moment.
I didn't see it. I was just
going viral on Twitter. Like, as some people say, oh, he's doing it on purpose now.
It's possible, is it?
He's not. Because he tried doing the Rey Mysterio 619 thing between the ropes, and he got stuck. So
I didn't think that was a botch. I think it was just, I just thought it was like the way he did it. So I didn't think it was a botch, but there you go.
No, it looks like a botch. But, and you know, people have been complaining again about it.
I don't care. Just go away. Have you not got anything better to do with your time?
Yeah. And my main issue that I hope he doesn't see it.
Mm.
The problem is that a lot of people like tagging him in this kind of bullshit. So
yeah. I'm reminded of Scott Norton's debut in New Japan Pro Wrestling where he was told just to hit everybody as hard as he possibly could.
Yeah.
To the point his tag team partners had to tell him to calm down. Because it was the producer of the show just like, just hit everybody as hard as you possibly can and you'll get over quickly. And he did that for about 5 minutes and then his tag team partner's like, now calm down before you hurt somebody. But yeah, so there you go. But I think that's a possibility. Speaking of hitting people as hard as you possibly could, unless you've got any more notes.
No, go to Fit Finlay if you want.
Okay, yes. So
and Haku.
This is a story of Haku and Fit Finlay indeed. Haku had a reputation in North America and Japan as the hardest man that ever lived. As Jake Roberts once said, if you've got a tank and you've got a gun and Haku stood in front of you and wants to fight you, you try with the tank first, but you might miss, so then you shoot yourself in the head.
Okay. Smart.
And David Finlay's father was not a pleasant man in the early 80s. Was known for people coming up to him in bars, and people would accuse him of wrestling being fake. So he would.
Oh God, no.
That he would, and this he's admitted this was a really bad thing that he used to do, would hold their thumb and pinch it whilst he sang a song. He said, and if pro wrestling's fake, then I wouldn't be, like, I would be grimacing and screaming at you while I broke your thumb, and you would barely notice that I've just broken your thumb whilst he sang a song at them. He was a bit hard.
Yeah.
He's a reformed Christian man these days. He doesn't do things like that anymore. Anyway.
Luckily his son's not like that.
No. And Haku was signed to WCW. And Eric Bischoff hired Dave Finlay to come to WCW. And of course, both of them have a reputation, but they'd never been in the same universe before because Dave had always been in Europe and Haku had always been in North America. And the cross had never passed in Japan because Haku was an All Japan guy and Dave was a New Japan guy. So when they wrestled in Japan, they never met each other. Anyway, so they sign each other up. And of course, the rumors going down the locker room, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? These two hard cases. And anyway, Eric figured this out as he hears all these rumors and he talks to both of them prior to the first locker room meetup. And it's Monday Nitro, packed locker room, everyone's there. Dave Finlay walks in and sticks his stuff down in front of Haku's locker. And then Haku comes in and goes, oi. And Dave Finlay goes, you got a problem. And everyone just goes,
oh, here we go.
And then he goes, nah, you're all right, mate. Ah, fine, thanks. The shake hands. They just look at everybody.
Yeah, they'll give people what they want.
Yes, it was just like the Eric Bischoff actually played rib on the entire WCW locker room, who were absolutely terrified that these two monsters would kill each other. But yes, but so
yeah. Haku makes me laugh because I recently saw the video he did where someone showed him the is it the Shockmaster or
yes, yeah,
the guy who has the helmet and who falls through, and the man was laughing. It was hilarious.
Yes,
have you seen that clip?
I watched it the first time it came out on television, and the most memorable thing about it, as Uncle Fred falls over with his legs, is the hearing Davey Boy Smith on live on international pay-per-view going, he landed on his fucking ass.
No, but I meant the clip of Haku.
I haven't seen Haku watch it. I'll have to go back and watch Haku watching it because yes.
Just,
They just the Shockmaster thing in general is just,
it was just so funny. You could see on his face that it took a moment to realize what had happened.
Yeah.
And then he just starts laughing and laughing and laughing. Yeah, it's funny.
Yes. The voice of the Shockmaster, do you know who was the voice of the Shockmaster?
No.
The recently deceased Ollie Anderson.
Oh.
Yeah,
I did not know that.
It was also the voice of the Black Scorpion because they had a vocoder and they were going to use it.
Yeah.
So, yes. But there you go. Anyway, the horror, the matter, we should do a podcast. The trouble is, there's so many people done podcasts on the worst of WCW that it's not worth doing it again, but some of them still make you laugh all these years later. Anywho, a remarkable main event of Hirooki Goto with Chase Owens that went 20 minutes and 36 seconds and was thoroughly entertaining. I don't know what they've been putting in Chase Owens' cornflakes, but he's trying really hard. God bless him. I know you probably wouldn't particularly enjoy this matchup, but Hirooki Goto gets a win, so we can always enjoy that.
That's the one positive.
Yes.
Yeah, you know how hard it was for me to be like,
I know this. Yes.
I get Goto in a main event, in a big main event where he's going to wrestle his ass off, and I can't watch it because I have morals. Damn it.
I'm more morally ambiguous than you, and I watched it.
It's not that I say other people who watch it don't have morals, but my morals are don't watch Chase Owens, so yeah, I can't really.
Which is perfectly fine, and I can quite understand that. And yes, I did watch it, and again, Chase is a horrible human being, but this was a really good wrestling match. And like I said, I don't know what's going to Chase Owens. Possibly his contract is up, but you know, he actually put a banger in here, and Goto obviously was still the star of the show, but it was just really good. It's actually quite staggering that Chase Owens has produced two matches of the tournament All right, 6.09 from the cage match users, but even that's pretty good for Chase by Chase standards, you know. And so, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, and Goto winning is good.
Is also the main thing.
Also because of the father thing.
It would have been great. It would have been horrible if he loses to Chase, yeah.
He made the promo like, this one's for you, Dad, and
yeah,
the crowd cheered him on. And
yeah.
So I watched that. I watched the after the...
I did find myself thinking, what does Dave Finley versus Chase Owens look like? This is one thing that did cross my mind on the recent Can't Have Nice thing.
That's never crossed my mind.
But it did cross my mind because I don't know what it looks like, because I don't know what that relationship between the OG Bullet Club and War Dogs is. That's one storyline thing that has not been explored or explained in any way, shape, or form. Well, maybe it doesn't need to be, but...
I've seen parts of the G1 match that Gabe Kidd and Chase Owens had. And it didn't really seem to be a story then.
So no, it was just that was more of Chase putting Gabe in his place.
Saying, yeah.
Like, yeah, no, I've been around here a lot longer than you have, Sunshine. Bang.
And they have been...
They've been tagging together recently, but yeah. And David has said, I don't care about House of Torture, and I don't care about the OGs, I only care about War Dogs. So, fair enough, that's okay. But yeah, it intrigued me. But yes, yeah. I much prefer the idea of David Finley versus Goto, because that's going to be a banger. So, anywho, let us move on to today's show. United Empire, Great Okan, Jeff Cobb. We were in the Zip Arena, Okayama, Japan. United Empire, Great Okan, Jeff Cobb defeated Tomiaka Honma and Toriyano in 5 minutes and 47 seconds. An old GBH reunion, which didn't go well.
Honma's in it, so...
I didn't go well.
No.
Chaos Hiroki go to Tomariyoshi Yoshihashi defeated Callum Newman, Francesco Akira, and TJP 8 minutes and 50 seconds. I'm not surprised. 3 heavyweights against 2 heavyweights in the junior, and one of those heavyweights being very slim.
And the other is Callum Newman, who's very new.
Yes. Well, there's one minute. Like, Callum Newman's a very slim heavyweight.
Oh, I thought you were talking about TJP, because he considers himself a heavyweight now.
No, I was talking about Callum Newman.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on this one?
TJP apparently calls himself the captain instead of the leader. Because, and also Cobb, according to commentary, Cobb wasn't happy with TJP calling himself the leader. So kind of a TJP thing to then say, okay, I'll call myself the captain then. Okay.
And he's also stealing Kawakami's gimmick from Glate, whose actual Twitter name is Leader.
Yeah, I don't know. Why the captain? Who knows?
It reminds me of Captain Mike Rotunda, one of the most god-awful gimmicks in WCW history, as we're going back into the depths of time.
Maybe TJP is doing that one.
Yes, he was captain of a boat, apparently. What were you? How does this seafaring help you with professional wrestling, Mike? I don't understand.
Maybe it's an Aswan thing.
Indeed.
And the cop thing also made me think of, like, him saying, we're all leaders of our own parts of United Empire. That's apparently something he said, which made me think, then why would you get mad at me? We're all leaders. Okay, so then why were you so pissy with me when I asked who people wanted to be a leader?
It's kind of a flat management kind of structure that they have there, I feel.
Maybe he works in and out of kayfabe, and Twitter is out of kayfabe. And then the final comment is that obviously Goto and Yoshihashi are going to challenge for the tag belts.
Yes.
But if they joined up with Ishii and went for the Never Belts, I would also not be angry.
No, we've got to see what's going to happen with them. I'm assuming a big summer tour at Korakuen Hall like the last time they were vacated, which would be intriguing. House of Torture, Jack Perry, Yoshinobu Kanemura defeated Ryosuke Taguchi and Shota Umino in 6 minutes and 30 seconds. How did 2 junior heavyweights beat them too? Oh, I suppose Jack Perry's not a junior heavyweight. He's just like 150 pounds.
No, he's a heavyweight.
I know, that's what terrifies me.
He's a heavyweight.
He's a heavyweight in his mind. He hasn't seen 100 kilos in 50 in a long time.
All the hair helps. No,
yes, that's it. Anyway, any thoughts?
A commentary. I think it was Gino. No, Walker, who came out with the line when Shota and Taguchi came through the curtains. Oh, look, it's the new ace. And Shota Umino. Which made Gino laugh like crazy. Just mean. Don't be mean to Shota. I will fight you.
No, but I'm glad to see he's taken up my joke of my favorite one was there was a picture of Will Ospreay and Io Sky. And it said, oh, look, it's the greatest aerial wrestler in the world. And Will Ospreay.
And Will Ospreay. Well, it's funny when it's Will Ospreay.
Right, yeah.
It's not fun anything. Leave him alone. And Taguchi just kept copying Shota after that. After they went through the curtain. Which was funny because you could see all the people like touching hands with Shota and then being like, okay, Taguchi too, I guess. Here. And the one commentary note that I really liked is Shota is a lone man in a time when you need help, when you need friends. Mm. Which is very much true, because commentary mentioned he had Tama Tonga, but he left. He had Desperado, but Desperado's busy with other people. And Taguchi, has he even teamed with Taguchi before? I don't know. He probably
a six man somewhere, I would think.
But not in like a tag match, and I don't think Taguchi's on his side so much as he happened to be free.
Taguchi.
Which is why I like the idea of Shota working with like G.O.D.
Yes, now I understand that.
If you're going to wrestle House of Torture who have like an 8-on-1 advantage over you, you could do with like a couple of friends, especially one who's like 3 meters tall.
That would be handy.
Would be useful.
Should we move on?
Yeah.
Doki, Sanada, Taichi, and Yui Uemura of Just Five Guys defeat Bullet Club, Chase Owens, David Finlay, Ghetto, and Ken to 9 minutes and 47 seconds. This seems like a match that wasn't worth having.
It was, because it was funny.
Okay, then.
You should just watch the first couple of minutes just for the fact that Walker almost died laughing.
Why?
Well, Finley started out by mocking Doki, and Doki mentioned something like a RoboCop. I think that might be a nickname Walker gave him or something. Because Walker just died. It took like 5 minutes before he came back up and could comment. And Finley and who else was Chase were like talking to each other. RoboCop? He said RoboCop. And like Walker was gone, so it was just Gino on commentary going RoboCop, and us as fans being like, I guess RoboCop? I don't know what we're RoboCop. What's like? It must be some sort of in joke. And Doki going, I'm RoboCop, which is obviously very funny to someone who doesn't understand the in joke, and Finley would just run with it.
Yeah.
So that was the first couple of minutes, just dead laughter on the air, and then Finley went from Doki to Yuya, like, where's your hair go? Where's your hair go? And stuff like that. So, and then after that, it was Taichi and Kenta just bullshitting. Kenta offering to have a title match for the Defy title right there. Mm-hmm. And Taichi just had to accept, and Taichi didn't trust him. And then Kenta attacked him from behind. But this was literally like 5 minutes worth of just bullshit. Nothing before the match. Bullshit. And just watch those couple of minutes, because it's ridiculous.
Yeah, which is good. But I mean, that's pro wrestling. Yeah. You know, it's like, I remember William Regal and Larry Zbysko had a singles match for the World Television Championship, and literally the first 7 minutes were them talking.
Yeah.
And they had everybody on the edge of their seat. And it's like, yeah, if you can do it with that, that's cool. That works. That's fine by me.
well, it wasn't edge of the seat stuff, but it was this is really funny and kind of dumb stuff. Worth the watch. And Chase did do some important things during, like, I'm not sure if it was in the match or backstage promos or commentary said it, but he directly challenged Bishamon. So we are getting that match at some point.
Cool.
And Yuya challenged Chase at the end after the match, and Chase said, yeah, sure. So
who with Tai Chi has been his
no idea. Partner. I'm not it might not even be a legit thing. Like just Yuya going, hey, title, and Chase going, oh yeah, sure. I don't know how Kenta feels about any of this, by the way.
He just seems to Chase just kind of says stuff and kind of goes, yeah, all right, then.
Which I wrote a tweet about this. It's kind of interesting that perennial loser Chase Owens is like, I'm going to challenge everyone.
Yes.
I would just not challenge anyone and just try to remain champion as long as possible. But, you know.
Arguably the world's premier chicken shit heel.
Suddenly challenging everyone.
Suddenly challenging everyone and then running behind Kenta. My friend here can kick you really hard.
And Kenta's like, we have a title match again?
Anywho.
Yeah, the last bit, the highlight of this match.
Mm.
Doki won with...
Ooh.
The Doki Choki.
Hey.
We finally got there and Gino had an orgasm. And it was wonderful. I'm so happy for both of them.
Big sex wee Gino.
Yeah.
All right then. Mighty Don't Kneel, Mikey Nichols and Zack Sabre Jr. defeated House of Torture. Ren Narita and Yujiro Takahashi, who again was without Peter in 9 minutes and 4 seconds.
Sad.
Sad times for all.
Yes.
Yes.
My one comment is on the new nickname Zach has for House of Torture.
What's that?
Did you see it?
No, I did not see it. Go on. Gazebo. I work for a living.
Okay, sorry. So do I, by the way. I have a day off. Okay. His new nickname for House of Torture is Gazebo of Cunts. Exactly.
That's just brilliant. I love him so much. I really do.
I figured you'd like that.
I do. It was when he was wrestling for Noah and he was in Stinger and he challenged I think it was the Jimmies in Dragon Gate. Oi, you bunch of wankers. It's like, who's going to understand that except you?
But that's why he does it. I think like 50% is just to amuse himself.
Yes.
It just happens that there's people who understand English now.
Yeah, there you go.
This is also why he won't go to WWE, because he wouldn't be able to do any of this.
No, absolutely not. No. It's like, you can't do the swearing. The only language.
No, the freedom of New Japan is just it's very Zach.
Who was that in commentary that I went, fucking hell, can I swear on this? Well, you have done. So, yeah. But anyway, where was we? Henry Uzaka.
That's literally the only comment I have for this.
L.I.J. Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi, Tetsuya, and Yota Tsuji defeated the Gorillas of Destiny. El Fantasma, Tonga Leo, El Desperado, and Togi Makabe, who's not a Gorilla of Destiny, but neither is El Desperado, but you're wishing.
He is a gorilla, though.
Yes, true. He is the scientific gorilla.
Unchained gorilla.
Unchained gorilla, yes. Alex Edwards, back in the day, when one of the first podcasts we did on the G1 Climax, he was like, I don't get Togi Makabe at all. And he was like, what do you mean? He said, well, half the time he just beats people up, and then the other time he's a really good scientific wrestler, so why can't I just pick one? It's like, because he's Togi Makabe.
He's like a gorilla from Planet of the Apes. Like, sometimes he's a gorilla, and sometimes he's intelligent.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of this?
This was fun, which is surprising to me because Makabe is not really a guy I particularly like. But you had ELP and Desperado together, and they were both really excited about wrestling together. They both mentioned it on Twitter, like, this is the first time ELP and ELD are teaming up. And Desperado wore ELP's merch, like the way he wore Watto's t-shirt, you know, tied on his hip.
Yeah.
And they helped each other into the ring and stuff. And I'm like,
aww.
Watto must be like crying back at home. Like, I put so much effort into becoming Desperado's friend, and ELP just looks at him and he wears his shirt and stuff.
That's because El Fantasma is a dork, but has effortless cool, whereas Master Watto is just a dork.
I can.
He's a lovable dork, but he is indeed just a dork. So, yeah.
Well, maybe the thing is that ELP likes Desperado, but doesn't want to be liked as much as Watto wants to be liked.
That's true, yes. That's the thing. He doesn't want to wear his skin.
Watto's just running around, please love me. talking about Watto, he asked Makabe for a birthday message because it's Watto's birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday, Watto.
Happy birthday, Watto. Desperado broke your heart today, but okay. I'm sure he didn't mean it.
Yeah,
a lot of teamwork between Desperado and ELP.
As you can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone just wants Despy, which
they do. He could be a member of Chaos and GOD at this rate, and possibly will be a member of Chaos and GOD at this rate.
He's welcome to join GOD.
It'd be interesting if no one's ever joined two factions, have they, at the same time?
But what if they wrestle against each other?
He could referee.
Okay. I was like, he's going to be on both sides and he's going to wrestle himself, you know, run from one corner to the other and then try wrestling moves in midair.
That's a very DDT thing to do. If he was in DDT, he could get away with that.
Well,
to be honest with you, that's probably happened. Let's be honest. DDT probably, and everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
DDT have booked every kind of wrestling match possible and invented 4 or 5 more. So, yeah.
I know Roman would love it.
So long as there's no dancing, Hiromu's fine. In that heavyweight metal championship match last year, he did not like the dancing. It was not key. He was like, no, none of this dancing malarkey. I want wrestling.
Yeah.
Because when he goes to DDT, Hiromu is considered like the straight one.
Yeah, the normal one.
The normal one. Everybody else just kind of like meanders around him. Whereas in New Japan, Hiromu's the weird one. And we have to put
In New Japan, everyone's like, oh, there's Hiromu. He's the funny one.
Yes.
And in DDT, he's average.
Yes. He's just, you're just not getting any. Semi-main event time.
Yeah, talking about GOD.
Indeed. Hikuleo went up against Evil. 14 minutes and 32 seconds of the usual shenanigans. But it was well played out, usual shenanigans. They did a good job, and for once, you know, I have a feeling GOD could have done a run in around about 5 minutes quicker than they did. Yeah. They were like, oh, stop this one, I'm going to get a cup of tea and I'm going to go out there and sort them out. my boots on.
I said ELP and Tanga are having a bath together and they just need to dry off before they run out.
As soon as we finish this game of darts, we'll be out there.
We will help you.
Yes. What were they doing? But yes, for a terrible wrestling match, it was a well-executed terrible wrestling match.
It wasn't terrible.
No, but you know what I mean. In the sense of, it wasn't, it was never good. You know, it's never going to be a great wrestling match, but it was well done horror, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. It's like a horror movie. You may not like the gore, but you can appreciate the makeup.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. Sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of moving parts.
Yeah. It was an okay story. It made sense. Like, if you see someone like Hikuleo, you're going to go for the knees and the legs, and they did that. And there wasn't... Like, people complain that there's too much interference. There wasn't really that much until, like, it looked like Hikuleo might win. Yeah. And then they all came running out, which I thought was a very funny visual. Like, they were all running out like ants. All of them. and they all beat Hikuleo down, and eventually G.O.D. showed up. Didn't work, obviously. But I liked it. I also like that Gino is apparently very afraid of finger hearts. Did you notice that at the very beginning?
Yeah. Gino doesn't like empathy and affection.
Yeah. What do you mean, hearts? Cute things? No. It's like he's avoiding it like the plague, you know?
Mm.
And I thought Evil made a very daring comment about Hikuleo's DNA.
Do you really want to? I did not hear it, but I can't go on.
Well, it wasn't. He said Hikuleo's DNA is weak because Tama Tonga is weak, which isn't that bad, but it can be read in a certain way. Which
it can be read in a certain way, but it doesn't work out because Tama Tonga was an adoptive son.
Well, they're both
adopted, aren't they?
I thought they were both. That they were actual brothers and both adopted, but
yes, they are. Yes, and yeah. Anyway, carry on. But yes,
just I heard something about DNA. I'm like, oh my god, please! It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be.
We're back on Gene Blast again, aren't we?
yeah, definitely. And there was go away chance.
For who? For Evil.
Evil. Oh. And House of Torture. And during the go away chance, ELP and Tangaloa showed up, which I thought was great. They were helping them go away.
Yeah, true. That was very true. They are incredibly over though, despite
they
not
are.
Go away heat, it's go away chance.
And sorry, I'm going to mention the bullshit about House of Torture one time. I am very surprised that there was no bullshit today. But on the other hand, I'm also kind of not. Because there were similar levels of bullshit today that there were any other day. But yeah. People aren't as invested in Hikuleo as they are, like, a Tai Chi Zack match.
No,
they were kind of, well, I guess.
Yeah, it'll calm down. Eventually it'll calm down. It's basically because of Jet Parry this week, I would think. And again, we've got to stand it to Jet Parry. Came in and chewed the shit, but he has to be.
Yeah, and I thought all the shows were pretty good. I had nothing to complain about, really.
We have got one match left to talk about, though. That is Shingo.
Well, this is a very bad one that we're going to complain about. That's what you mean.
I'm not going to complain about this.
Neither am I, but
awesome.
You're like, we still have one match to go. So
yes, we took one match to go that was just diatribe.
Yeah.
Yes. No. Shingo Takagi defeated Gabe Kidd, and it took him a very long time, 18 minutes and 20 seconds. Oh, this one made me cringe. This was like, ugh.
Because it was
Lance.
Bad or because it was
stiff? It was violent. It was stiff. Yeah. It was like I've seen Shingo do some stiff stuff before, but I don't know what Gabe said to him before. Just like, don't worry about my teeth, I think, by the sound of things. But
I have enough. I have enough of them.
Yeah, it's all right. I've got spares. But they were... this was really action. The butt stuff was this match where Gabe piled up a stack of chairs. Not the cheap seats, by the way. There were some very expensive shoes being worn by the people in those seats.
And they had to move.
And they had to move because Gabe wanted to stuff pile drive Shingo Takagi into a stack of chairs and managed to get one up his arse.
Ouch.
Yes. And it was like, perhaps, my son, you should have thought about that before you figured out where you were going to land. It was quite clearly that he was not selling because he was pretending to be hurt. We had quite quickly got a chair up his arse. So, yes, this was a blinder, though. Absolutely run on adrenaline, just the kind of match you expected from the both of them. Gabe Kidd making big waves, even if you don't get to this semi-final. But, yeah, this was banger. I love this match. This was... match of the tournament for me. It won't be everyone's cup of tea because it's a scurfing match and that's not everyone's cup of tea. It wasn't like a classical wrestling hold kind of thing or even like a traditional New Japan style brawl. This was just stiff, good, close action, which I enjoyed. And so gave an awful lot more character to Gabe Kidd, you know, standing up to the dragon and calling him an old man. That's pretty sweet. You got nothing, you old man. That, like, oh, Gabriel.
Yeah, but it's funny because he said that and he spat in his face afterwards, and I could just hear my timeline gasp. Like, how dare you? But Shingo didn't react as much to that as he did to something Gabe said in Japanese earlier.
Yes, which I was a rude word. Which the commentary,
it must have
even
been
the
very rude word.
If the commentary team didn't even know, well, we know what that means.
And Shingo just absolutely, because Shingo was on the receiving end of a lot of violence at that point, and he immediately turned it around. I was like, oh, Gabe, you said something you should not have said. I think the old man, he would have gotten away with, but not that word.
Yeah. No, whatever that word was. We assume it was flower arranging.
You're a very nice person.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you want me to talk about the match?
Yes,
now?
Please do. Please
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes. I really enjoyed it. This is not my kind of match, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was well executed. I like Shingo a lot, so I'm invested in what he does. I think Gabe is an interesting character. Not my kind of wrestler, as we discussed before. He's a bit too aggressive and in your face. It makes me a bit uncomfortable, not because of him, but because of my history. But as long as he's doing that on other people and not into the camera,
yeah,
I'm fine with it. and I like the whole Shingo and Gabe are similar but very different at the same time. Like, Shingo is very aggressive and in your face, but he has complete control over that aggression.
Yeah.
Whereas Gabe feels like he could just short circuit at any moment and lose control and go too far. And I like that they show that the experienced one who is in control of his anger wins in the end. Because that's what Gabe needs to go towards. And I during this match, I wrote a tweet saying that I think one day Gabe is going to get disqualified because of something he does.
Yeah.
And that's the moment he has to decide, am I going to grow into a better person, as in control of what I do?
Yeah.
Or is he going to become even worse? And I think that's the moment I'm going to find Gabe Kidd really interesting.
Yeah.
When he chooses one of those options.
Yeah, he's the most intriguing guy they've got at the moment, as far as like development is concerned. Because he started at such a rock bottom position, he's got plenty of places he can go. And he's given himself direction in what he's doing. He is growing, like, as a wrestler, match by match, because they keep giving him bigger and bigger guys to wrestle, and he keeps showing up and putting in the effort.
He's not afraid to do things slap Shingo in the face or call him an old man.
Yeah, and that's what, if you need a king heel, he's the guy you need, and he's just the right person. And I think the other thing he has in his advantage is he's an all-round great wrestler. He's a great brawler at the minute, but if you need a technical wrestler, he's just as good at that. And I think that's the thing that's going to stand him in good stead long run. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's very difficult for some foreigners to feel like they can get away with that. Because as a foreigner, you come to Japan and you're like, Japan is respect.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah.
So to go out of your way to do that to someone like Shingo might be terrifying. But Gabe is so accustomed to everything there and has grown into that company and is fully aware of what he can and cannot do.
Yeah.
That he can do all this.
Yeah. Yeah. He's in the right place at the right time. Right then.
A couple of cute mentions I still want to...
You go through that because I'm going to look at what we're doing tomorrow.
Okay. There was a moment where they were in the crowd and they were pushing and pulling, and at some point Red Shoes came out to them and Gabe pushed Red Shoes, and the point was Red Shoes was supposed to fall down and knock himself out, you know, and they were going to wrestle, but Gabe and Red Shoes hadn't realized that the crowd was there, so there were a couple of people who actually caught Red Shoes. and Reshus was like, okay, just going to faint now then. And he fell to the floor. And I was like, yeah, the crowd is not just going to let him fall. They're going to catch him. And they did. That was adorable. That's so wrestling, you know?
Yes, yes, it is.
And there was one more Red Shoes moment that I want to point out. That was Gabe Kidd yelling at Red Shoes to get into the ring. And he was just constantly yelling, referee, referee. And at some point, Red Shoes turns around and he goes, what? And that's just such a dad reaction.
It is. That is.
Like the unimpressed, annoyed dad. He was like, what? Like Shota must have done that to him as well.
I think it was also a very British wrestling thing to say referee, not like... If it was like what another one of the foreigners, they'd probably say, hey, Red Shoes. But he's like, because he's so steeped in British wrestling tradition, referee is the Leon Harris. Referee! Yeah,
it's also making, it's not using his name, like not seeing him as a person.
It's dehumanizing him. Yeah. It's making him neutral as well.
He's useful because he's a referee. Otherwise, Gabe would ignore him or kick him or
throw
him out of the building.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, if you watch back those 70s and 80s matches, people like Jim Briggs and Leon Harris, that's why they do it as well. Because it's like, it's that whine of referee! Because you can make that word really annoying, especially when you're in charge. Or really abrupt, referee. You know, you can use it to your advantage when you're trying to speak about it.
Yeah. But
also, it's that dehumanizing element of, like, I only need you to count three and make sure he doesn't pass. I'll make sure he's passed out.
I don't care that you want to check on Shingo. You need to get into the ring right now.
Yes. So
and you're not doing it fast enough, so I'm annoyed. So, referee, get in here now.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the look on Red Shoes' face, like, just very much a dad look. Like,
yes, exactly.
Oh, you're so annoying. Which he is. Gabe is very annoying.
He is. That's his entire reason d'etre.
Yeah.
Because he's a madman, you know.
Is he? I hadn't
noticed. Yes. But then,
I wonder if the crowd has finally figured out that that's what he's saying.
Possibly. He's hammered at it long enough. So.
Yeah, but it's not a typical phrase.
No, I suppose not. But maybe they've just got it because he's so good at pantomiming stuff as well. Like
he should learn the Japanese phrase.
I suppose he should do, really. But you see him when he sat down in the middle of the ring in the Shingo style and folded his arms. It was like the amount he pantomimed, that's where everyone knew his entire body language was like, that's really good. You little shit. It was awesome. So yeah, I can see, you know, he's really good at that stuff and he's going to be great. He's going to be so good.
Yeah. The only thing is that the better he gets, the more people want him as leader. And I'm like, no.
You've got the perfect leader for the current Bullet Club because they're all about anti-wrestling, not pro-wrestling. Yeah,
and that's also why you need a Finley, because Gabe is this good and is this entertaining.
Yeah, you need someone to make sure that there is someone. All of them are entertaining except David, and David is entertaining to us.
He's the gatekeeper, keeping people from turning them
enjoying themselves. Yeah. It's funny enough, if you think back to the days of the Four Horsemen, Dave Finley is the Arn Anderson in the sense he's the sensible one that keeps it all together.
Hmm.
And Gabe is the Ric Flair, who's the flamboyant. Different kind of crazy, but crazy, if you see what wrestling character, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So they
Maloney is also similar.
Yeah. Yeah. They are kind of, they're flipped in that sense that Flair was always the leader of the Horsemen, but Finley took the lessons of Anderson and make sure he's the one that's actually in control.
Yeah. He's the one who's holding those kid reins, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
The straps that parents put on kids to keep them out of danger, but to give them some leeway, that's Finley.
Let them loose when I need to.
But pull them back when you can, when you need to.
We haven't got a show tomorrow, it's on Friday. And we're in Osaka, Japan, at Osaka Kanagawa Park Gymnasium. That seems new. We've Shoma Kato versus Katsuyu Mishima.
Yeah, I've not seen any of the
No, this is the one. These are the matches that have been announced. Mikey Nichols versus Callum Newman. Any thoughts there? Any ideas? No?
No, sorry.
Togi Makabe, Tomiyaki Morel, Desperado and Oleg Bolton versus just five guys, Duki, Sonata, Tai Chi and Yui Uemura.
Let's see if they mention Suzuki Gun this time.
Yes, this is going to be like, hey, Suzuki Gun, hey kids, there we go, yes. Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, Toriyano Yoshihashi and Raisuki Taguchi. Against Chase Owens, David Finlay, Gabe Kidd, Kenta and Taiji Ishimori, all of them available members of Bullet Club currently on this tour. I saw a picture of Dan Maloney from a show from 2017 the other day, because one of my followers takes a historic card from a British wrestling show and puts the poster up every, tweets one every day, and very graciously includes me in it. And there's a picture of Dan Maloney, and he looked massive. And you don't only see is his head and his neck, and his neck's like a tree
trunk. What year was that?
2017.
And it would have been like, how old?
It was 5 years ago. Was he now 26? He'd been like 19, and he had a neck like a tree trunk.
Interesting.
Wow. But yes, this was before he decided to become a junior. Anyway, Chaos Owen, don't talk about that. House Torture, Dick Togo, Evil, Jack Perry, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Yujiro Takahashi versus Gorillas of Destiny, Hikuleo, Jado, Tonga Loa, Shota Umino, and Yo.
Oh, Shota will be glad he's wrestling with G.O.D.
Yes, indeed. Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi.
You want to try that again?
Los Ignorables de Japón. What's wrong with that?
Well,
I'll try again.
Los
Ignorables de Japón.
Almost. Okay. Go ahead.
Alex Hernandez, a journalist of Dallas and, you know, Hispanic person, taught me how to pronounce it properly. She did. Anyway, Bushi, Romo, Takahashi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito versus United Empire, Francesco Akira, Great Okan, Jeff Cobb, and TJP.
Okay.
And then the final second round match is El Fantasma versus Yota Tsuji.
That should be good.
And Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ren Narita.
So I know who you want to win in the last one. You want Tsuji to beat ELP?
Yes. I would like that. I would like that a lot, to be honest. No, nothing against El Fantasma, but I think I'd like Tsuji to go through. And I think he probably will. Because these two will face each other. But Zack Sabre Jr. versus Yota Tsuji could be a career-building matchup for young Tsuji, and I think that's probably the best thing to do in my head, and probably the best story to tell. So Fantasma versus Zack Sabre Jr. does appeal. It's a match I would like to see, but noticeably neither of us is talking about Ren Narita.
I was going to ask, what if Narita wins? Because it's kind of...
I don't want to manifest that into being.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, who has Narita beaten so far? Tai Chi and Hikuleo, who both have bigger groups of people helping them? Zach only has Mikey.
No, but also Zach is kind of like the king of tournaments and smarter than everybody else as well.
Yeah, I guess, but it kind of feels like House of Torture will interfere, and Zach only has one guy.
How do we know that Shane Haste and Kyosuke Fujita and Rob Eagles are not in Japan?
Well, Zach said Fujita-kun is not here.
Okay.
So but he's out.
He's been known to lie to us before.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You think they will show up just for this one match?
Shane
is swimming over from Australia.
I absolutely believe that will happen. Yes. Match,
just yeah. A second, Zach.
I absolutely believe that is a possibility, yes.
Okay.
I'm sure that Shane made all those videos 2 weeks ago and just put them up to tote us off the scent. And I would not be surprised.
2 weeks ago, you mean?
I would not actually be surprised if that actually happened, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But can't see Narita winning it. If he does, then it's obviously going to be Tsuji versus Narita, and then you have an action from that between the two young stars, which is the obvious place to go, I suppose. But I'm still working on Zach winning this and winning the G1. do.
Yeah, but look, we kind of think it's LIJ versus House of Torture right now.
Yeah.
So that can change. Suzuki versus Narita would make sense. And
it would.
Possibly.
I'm not saying
An LIJ helping Suji win would make sense.
It would make sense as well. But again, I'm not really sure. I'm still kind of working on Zach winning the whole thing. So that's it.
Yeah, we'll I know you want him to win. It's just at this point, I'm like, Ghetto is going to go with House Torture through and through, unless it really takes an effort, like an entire team.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
we'll see.
I'm fine with
any of the four options, to be honest.
I don't think Phantasma should go past the second round match, though. I think that's. No knock on Phantasmo, but I don't see, he's a tag team wrestler, and there's nothing else
right now. It depends what they want to do.
Yeah,
because a lot of people also see him as like Will Ospreay's replacement for now, because Callum isn't ready and Zach is very different from what Will is.
Yeah, but he's not gone to that level yet, and I don't see him.
Could be if you give him a push.
Yeah, but
no, I do like him with Hikuleo a lot, so I don't want that to change. But
no, I'm
fine with either Suji or ELP going through.
Yeah, I don't mind. We'll see. I mean, I think Zach's going to win this out of the four of them, but I have more erred towards Suji and Narita makes more sense from a booking point of view because you've got action coming out of that. But ELP versus Narita doesn't make a ton of sense unless you are kind of playing on what happened today and then it's revenge for Hikuleo going out, and that makes sense, I suppose. So, yeah. I mean, there's possibilities with all four, but I'm still saying Zach's the favourite.
I'm looking at the bracket, by the way.
Mm.
And a lot of people were complaining about the results. If
Why?
We look at just because like Chase Owens won and Tangaloa won.
Yeah, because they're going to, because they are singles wrestlers.
Yeah, but also because their stories to be told.
Yeah, exactly. That's
Tangaloa won because of the KOPW title.
Yeah, and Chase wins.
Owens because of the tag titles.
Yeah, and also Chase hasn't been around for a while. You've got to kind of reintroduce him to an audience, and the best way of doing that is get some wins over some big names.
But if you look at who's left now, you've got Sanada, Jack Perry, Finley, and Goto.
Jack Perry was going to the semifinals come what may, because he's got to make a big splash in his first appearance.
I think all of those four are sensible options, right?
Mm, yeah.
To have in the quarters.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, it's Evil, it's Shingo, either Yota or Phantasmo, and either Narita or Zach.
All of them are worthy.
I think also. Even ELP and Narita, I think, are sensible quarterfinals. Maybe not semi or finals, but
No, none of them are bad picks for what you're trying to do.
No.
You know, you always get a couple of.
So people's oh my god, all the wrong people are winning thing. That's just the first round. And I always feel like people put too much emphasis on wrestlers having to all be good when they're in the New Japan Cup or in the G1. Like, no, some of them are just there for a purpose.
Yeah. Bad Luck Fale beat Okada in the first round of the New Japan Cup in 2016. Because, yeah, he did. So, because he needed to, because that was the way the tournament was going to work. It was best to get rid of Okada early because you needed him for other stuff. And Farley was believably as a big guy, and Farley was really on it back then. So
it made
sense. It's fine. Nothing wrong with that. And again, I'll go back to it. Bo Beverly beat Keiji Muto with Shinya Hashimoto on a regular basis in Japan Pro Wrestling because you can't win them all.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. And that's more believable than Naito beating everybody every time. And what kind of story would Naito have had if he hadn't lost to Tanahashi so much and hadn't lost to Okada so much? He would have had no story whatsoever. You can't have it both ways. someone's got to lose. And that's the thing about New Japan, is you get definitive finishes all the time, because that's how Japanese wrestling's worked for the last 20 years, since pretty much ever since mixed martial arts became popular in Japan, and Giant Baba went, right then, we're going to have no more DQs and count outs, we're going to do this properly. And it doesn't matter if it hurts our guys, because there'll be ways of getting them back into the picture again. And that's what they did. You know, it can be done. Because Misawa and Kawada wrestled each other 13 times for the Triple Crown, sold out Budokan Hall every time. And, you know, that's magic. That's wrestling. That's how you do it. And it's just because your guy lost doesn't mean it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
But there we go. Right then. Well, that has been Today at the New Japan Cup. Thank you for your time, Christy. Where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at SmarkInfested on Twitter, as usual.
You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find me on Sheriff Lone Star on TX on Instagram, on Mastodon as Sheriff Lone Star as well. You can find the Sheriff Tripping Show on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can find us on Patreon and Facebook as The Tripping Show. We have a Discord as well. Various of the places we're going to be. We have a Threads account, which I don't use very often, because there doesn't seem to be much wrestling stuff going on Threads. Don't seem to much stuff going on Threads in general. But there you go.
I've never been on Threads.
No, because they haven't given it out to the non-English speaking world, have they? You'd have to lie and say you're British. Sorry?
I'm too Dutch for that.
You're too Dutch, yes. You could lie and say you're British.
I'm not sure I could get away with that.
Yes, I'm British. I have a whippet and drink pints, governor.
I can say certain words in a British accent, but a lot of my accent is... Someone asked me... today was someone asked a very general, you know, what does your accent sound like? I'm like, it's a mix of a lot of things. Like, I know a lot of words I say are somewhat British. Like, I say can't and not can't.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of words that are very Dutch, and a lot of words that are Americanized. Like, I say Twitter and not Twitter.
Is that from years of listening to Joey Styles ACW commentary?
No, it's actually, I used to have very, very Queen's English, because my mother is an English teacher. But then when I had an education for being an English teacher, there were only Americans in my...
That'll do it.
So, and then there's all the TV I listen to and watch and stuff. But those people are probably the ones who turned my British accent into a mix. And of course, my Dutch accent is always shining through in various places.
But you have dulcet tones, which we appreciate.
Thank you. That's a nice compliment. Well done.
Okay, then. We won't be back on Friday, because I don't finish work until 9 o'clock at night. So we'll be doing another Today at show on Saturday. If Christy is available, she might join me. If not, we'll discuss this off air. Good production meetings are always done best off air, not whilst we're recording the show. But there will be a Today at show one way or another on Saturday. We'll speak to you then. Take care and bye.